Hi, this is Kenny Kramer, the real Kramer, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA. And as Cosmo would say, giddy up.
Hi, everybody. My name is Daniel Thomas Wachowski. Tune in to the local news for better weather, interviews with your friends and neighbors, and more on WGXC from 7 to 10 every morning. WGXC is here to start your day with democracy now at 8. Tune in weekdays to 90.7 FM to get your morning going.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Carmen Borgia of Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Wednesday, May 24th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Steve Hughes reports in the Times Union that Albany County Executive Dan McCoy was the latest local leader to declare a state of emergency and issued an emergency order on May 23rd because of the possibility that asylum seekers from New York City might temporarily be bused to the county. McCoy's directive means the county's Department of Social Services will work with the state to plan for the relocation of up to 200 families in Albany County. But McCoy's order also bans any businesses, including motels or people, from bringing migrants or asylum seekers to the county without the county's permission. McCoy said, quote, "I am hopeful that these requirements ensure the proper dignity and respect for all persons," unquote. And he also criticized those governors in Florida and Texas and mayor of New York City who are busing migrants around the country. McCoy said, quote, "Allowing for the transportation of busloads of migrant families within our county communities without a plan and without clear communication does not protect our residents, and it does not protect the migrant families seeking asylum," unquote. The state may also be trying to put some migrants at the University of Albany over the summer. The State University of New York is in discussion to house asylum seekers at two other SUNY campuses, so University of Albany could be a third. Assemblywoman Pat Fahey, chair of the Assembly's Higher Education Committee, said, quote, "My understanding directly from SUNY is that at this point it is still not final. I'm proud to live in Albany where we are a welcoming community," unquote. Read more about the story in the Times Union. Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union about what New York Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado has been up to. It has been about a year since Delgado quit on the 19th congressional district, leading to a special election that Democrats won and a general election that Republicans won. Delgado was seen widely with Governor Kathy Hochul during her reelection campaign last fall. But since that election, Delgado has not been very visible. Now Solomon writes, quote, "He has been relatively absent during the governor's biggest political fight since the election, the failed nomination of Justice Hector de la Salle as chief judge, an unprecedented and now failed proposal to increase housing, and recent changes to the state's bail laws intended to increase public safety," unquote. Delgado declined to be interviewed for the story, instead sending a statement that said in part that he has, quote, "worked in partnership with Governor Hochul to build a safer, fairer, and more affordable state," unquote. Instead, Solomon caught up with Delgado speaking in Herkimer, quote, "reading lines that can be traced back to state websites and administration news releases," unquote. Delgado has almost become Hochul, who, as number two to Andrew Cuomo, did little but tour the state and meet many local officials. Delgado has been meeting folks such as Assemblyperson Chris Tagg, a Schoharie conservative who at the old Tater Barn in Schoharie County saw the lieutenant governor at an annual Chamber of Commerce awards dinner. Delgado said, quote, "This community embraced me, and whether you were a Democrat, a Republican, or an independent, there was at least an attempt to be civil, thoughtful," unquote. Delgado then turned to Tagg and said, quote, "We're not going to agree on every single issue, right, Chris?" unquote. Teague said he wishes Delgado had a louder voice in the Hochul administration, saying, quote, maybe things would be a little different in Albany if he was able to play a little bigger role, unquote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And Andrea Macko reports in Porcupine Soup, reminding readers that turtles are slowly on the move this spring. In May and June, turtles are often on the move, looking for sandy areas or loose soil to lay their eggs. Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner Basil Sagos is asking motorists to, quote, give turtles a break. While a turtle's shell provides protection from predators, it does not protect against being struck by vehicles while crossing roadways. Vehicle strikes are a major cause of mortality among turtles, especially in these coming weeks. DEC urges drivers to be on the lookout for turtles and slow down, particularly on roads near rivers and marshy areas, unquote. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, May 24th. Local early morning temperatures range from 43 degrees in, what a surprise, Steventown, to, well, you're a little outside of the area, but we'll give it to you, 55 degrees in Cobleskill. Regional, average soil temperature is 59 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be high. Now, hopefully, the rain coming in this afternoon punches that down a bit. Rain chances start at 12 noon. Shortly after, we see the high temperature of 75 degrees. Rain peaks at 4 p.m. and should end by dark, with a bang or two of thunder sprinkled about. Overnight, rain stops, winds pick up a little, and we see a low temperature of 42 degrees. Tomorrow, dry, still windy, with a high of 66 degrees at 5 p.m. Perfect for some soup, wouldn't you say? We'll see you tomorrow afternoon at the Left Bank Cider in Catskill for some of Tom Ditto's grandma's famous chicken noodle soup, amongst other fine offerings. Don't worry, vegans, we got you covered. 40 degrees overnight takes us into a still cool Friday with a high of 72. Weekend is looking warm and dry with highs in the upper 70s. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 12:54 a.m., high at 6:56 a.m., low again at 1:50 p.m., and high once again at 7:55 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 64 degrees, and the tide strength will be low. Sunset today will be at 8:02 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:23 a.m. Looking way up, we see solar flare chances have fallen to 10%, but don't get comfortable. This solar cycle is still on the upslope, and these beta, gamma, delta magnetic zones on the sun are no joke. Plasma winds will be average at 546 kilometers per second, with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3.6. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 130, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wow! What a graduation!
I'll say!
But with college behind us, we'll need careers, and good ones.
What about chestnut roasting? People always need chestnuts.
Or begging. I know a place that'll saw your legs off.
Slow down, fellas. I've got a way we can keep our legs and still have a bright future.
Now you're dreaming.
Oh, am I?
Of course! Nuclear power!
It's the job of tomorrow. Today!
Really?
Well, that settles it. For all those reasons and more, let us choose an electrifying career in nuclear power.
Welcome. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
We're going to do what we always do and tell you what's in the local theaters. I'm going to tell you about the drive-ins for right now. And what I can tell you is that they're open. Because by the time you hear this, what's playing this weekend is no longer going to be playing. But we have the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie, and that's HIWAYDriveIn.com. They're under new ownership right now, and the new owners are so far keeping everything the same. One screen seems like it's continuously playing older movies, but the other three of the four are playing blockbusters. And today we're pre-recording on Saturday. Last night was the opening of the Greenville Drive-In with Muppets Take Manhattan. So there's nothing on their event calendar right now, but they are open. And so you can find out more about the Greenville Drive-In at drivein32.com.
Amazing. Oh, I love the drive-in. It's the season is here.
It's so special.
All right. So now I'm going to tell you what's playing at the Crandall Theater. And this is also future upcoming shows. So for all of the detailed information, you're going to want to head over to crandalltheater.org. But you can expect to see in the coming weeks, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Yes.
Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, Memorial Day.
Oh, Memorial Day, duh. I was like, why?
Yeah.
Bo is Afraid. The Super Mario Brothers movie. The new one, not the one from the 80s, tragically. You Hurt My Feelings. And The Flash. And again, for those specific showtimes, you want to head on over to crandalltheater.org.
Gorgeous. Chef's kiss. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Wyndham Theater. Again, because this is a pre-recording, by next weekend, which they're only open on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. By next weekend, the movies might have changed, but generally, I bet like some of them will still be there. Because we have Fast X, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and the new Super Mario Brothers movie. So I imagine at least Fast X and Guardians will probably still be there. But when it's time, you can check out WyndhamTheater.com, WIndham Theater.com.
Ah, thrilling. All right, and now I'm going to tell you about what's coming soon at Upstate Films. So starting with the theater in Rhinebeck, and these are all, they don't have showtimes yet, so once again, you will have to do just a little bit of detective work. But you can look forward to seeing Close Up, 32 Sounds, Close Up. The End Is Not What I Thought It Would Be. Skate Dreams. Lakota Nation versus United States. National Theater Live: Good. And Long Story Short, Willie Nelson 90.
Oh.
I know, very exciting. And then over at the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, they will have The Little Mermaid in 3D.
Oh, Jesus.
That's wild. I didn't know they had 3D capacity.
It already looks 3D.
Yeah, it really does. Beyond the Visible, Hilma af Klint. The Little Mermaid, just regular, not in 3D. And Grateful Dead live at Soldier Field. And once again, these are all upcoming films coming to the Upstate Cinema locations in Rhinebeck and Saugerties. And you can find out all those details when the time comes at upstatefilms.org.
Amazing. So last but not least for me, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Spotlight Cinema in Hudson. That's the theater that's on Fairview Avenue. And their website does allow me to look at what is going to play next week when our show is going to air. So these are the updated show times. We have a movie called Hypnotic. Book Club: The Next Chapter.
Yes, finally.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Evil Dead Rise. Super Mario Brothers Movie. And Fast X. And you can find out more about showtimes and everything at spotlightcinemas.com. And just make sure that you select the Hudson, New York Theater in the drop-down menu on their website.
Wow, blockbuster season really is upon us.
It sure is.
All right, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at TSL in Hudson, our lovely local indie theater. However, they simply don't have next week's, so this is just what the type of movie you can look forward to experiencing at TSL. Currently, this weekend, which is the weekend of May 20th, they are playing Sunset Boulevard. Ooh, interesting, exciting. They're also playing The Taking, a movie from 2021. Fellini's I, Vitelloni from 1953, and David Hammond's The Melt Goes On Forever, which is a new movie about an artist. Very exciting. And so for all of the future movies, because some of these might continue on, but some we just don't know, you can find out future showings at TSL at timeandspace.org.
Amazing.
Next, we have 2023 new music from Hudson musician Stephen Blum. He's got a full album coming out later in the year, but so far in 2023, he has released this song called Easter from Hudson-based musician Stephen Blum on the WGXC.
Exactly the way you are. Grow older and wiser, but stay exactly the way you are. I'm gracious to you. You're glorious to me, and I feel more feelings than my little heart can hold. God bless you. God keep you. God bless you. God keep you.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
It is not going to deal with the problem that we're currently having at this moment, at this time. What we need to focus on is Congress acting.
When asked whether President Joe Biden would invoke the 14th Amendment to raise the debt ceiling, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said it would not address the root of the issue. The president met with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy Monday, but no agreement was reached. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries called for a decision.
We need action. We need movement. We don't need talking points.
There are now less than 10 days before a possible default, which economists warn could sink the U.S. economy. With government payrolls and contracts halted, a sharp drop in stock prices, business shutdowns, and layoffs. The House Oversight and Accountability Committee held a hearing to address problems relating to pharmacy benefit managers, who act as intermediaries between drug manufacturers and patients' health plans. It's estimated the three largest PBMs control 80% of the market. Republican Kentucky Representative James Comer said PBM companies steer patients to certain pharmacies and to use certain drugs for their own profit.
Today, PBMs engage in self-benefiting practices that boost their bottom line without a benefit to patients.
In addition to expensive drug costs, Maryland Representative Jamie Raskin describes the hold PBMs have as horrifying, adding medical providers are being forced to use one drug over another. Congressional Republicans expressed their support of the Halt Fentanyl Act while slamming the Biden administration for what they see as a failure to address the flow of fentanyl across the southern border. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise says 300 people die from fentanyl and related drugs every day and said President Biden refuses to take action.
He can do it on his own just by securing the southern border and stopping the drug cartels from being able to have operational control to bring this deadly drug into our country.
Scalise said Republicans plan to bring the bill to the House floor on Thursday and predicted it will likely have strong bipartisan support. An Arizona judge dismissed Carrie Lake's final claim in the Republican candidate's legal challenge of her loss in last year's race for Arizona governor. Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Peter Thompson said Lake's team failed to prove claims that the county didn't verify signatures on mail-in ballots as required by law. Lake says she plans to appeal.
I'm not prepared right now to tell you exactly what our path is because we're looking at several paths, but you've not seen the last of our case.
Finally, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is expected to launch his presidential campaign on Twitter with the company's outgoing CEO, Elon Musk, today. DeSantis's announcement is expected to shake up the Republican primary, which has been heavily dominated by former President Donald Trump. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The sheriff of Johnson County, Kansas, made 15 allegations of election violations to a Kansas State Senate committee in March. Only one case was ever referred to the district attorney, who cited a lack of evidence in dropping it. The Shawnee Mission Post reported last week that it had requested documentation of the 15 cases investigated for over a year by Sheriff Calvin Hayden. Hayden also testified to the committee there were, quote, willful violations by the Secretary of State and the Election Commissioner of Johnson County in the 2020 election. The Kansas Secretary of State, a Republican, has said there was no widespread fraud in the election. Last July, Hayden spoke to a gathering of constitutional sheriffs in Las Vegas. In a video obtained by KSHB Kansas City, he disclosed that he was investigating 2020 election questions but did not provide details. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association claims that county sheriffs have the right to ignore laws they deem not in accordance with the U.S. Constitution, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center's Information on Extremist Groups. Of the 15 cases reviewed by the Post, only one was ever referred to Johnson County District Attorney Steve Howe. Howe told the Post there was not enough evidence to support the charges. Sheriff Hayden has still not provided details of the other allegations, claiming an ongoing investigation. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
If you are hungry or just want to help community radio, come on out on Thursday, May 25th to Left Bank Ciders in Catskill to their community soup night. WGXC is organizing this night, Thursday, May 25th, with a live on-site broadcast, DJs, and soup. Come on out for a bowl of soup, conversation, and some music. Each Thursday night, Left Bank Ciders hosts a community soup night where volunteers make soup with proceeds benefiting a local nonprofit. All proceeds go to Waveform's WGXC 90.7 FM. On Thursday, May 25th, the Left Bank Ciders in Catskill from 5 to 7 p.m.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
State lawmakers join 100 advocates at the New York State Capitol on Tuesday to demand that the legislature pass the New York Heat Act. The critical climate bill would cap energy bills at 6% of household income for low and middle income families, saving them up to $75 per month. New York Heat also gets rid of the unfair 100-foot rule, which forces New York families to subsidize new gas hookups to the tune of $200 million every year and worsens the climate crisis. We hear first from Better Broad, the MC, who is the campaign director for New Yorkers for Clean Power, followed by Senator Liz Krueger, the lead sponsor of the New York Heat Act. Also speaking are Sonal Jessel, policy director for We Act for Environmental Justice, Elisha Bacon, the Mothers Out Front, and Albany County Legislature and Share co-chair Merton Simpson.
In the legislature who are working with us to make energy affordable for all New York families. Because the fact is, even though leadership says they're worried about affordability, the budget didn't do enough to relieve sky-high energy costs for the most impacted families. They have the chance to help save the planet and make it so New Yorkers aren't forced to choose between keeping cool and keeping food on the table. Right now, low-income families spend three times more on energy bills than other families, and that's not right. New York Heat will fix that. Cap utility bills at 6% of income for low- and moderate-income families. That means low-income families can save up to $75 a month. More money for food, for rent, for medicine, and other basic necessities. Because the fact is, our existing gas system is incredibly expensive for everyone. Because of the 100-foot rule, New Yorkers are paying $200 million every year to expand outdated gas infrastructure to new customers who get their new pipes for free, and we're paying for it. It's not right, but New York Heat will stop that giveaway. And it will redirect the planned $150 billion in costs for new pipes toward climate-friendly solutions instead. Those gas pipe replacements will become obsolete before we're even done paying for them, and that's crazy. And we're not just saying that. Even National Grid is trying to sell off their fossil gas utility system in the Northeast because even they know that gas is on the way out. And on top of that, New York Heat will also get rid of the obligation to serve, which means gas utilities will no longer have an excuse to build this gas infrastructure that we don't need anymore. New York Heat is the clear answer to our affordability problem, and 52 Assembly co-sponsors would agree. Now we need the Senate to pass New York Heat and Assembly Member Zabrowski to bring New York Heat to a committee vote and move it to the floor. We can't wait another year. The legislature must pass New York Heat now. Thank you. And now we're going to hear from our legislative leaders, starting with our incredible champion, Senate Liz Krueger.
I think our host has already explained exactly why this bill is so important. But I'll just ask again, anybody want to save ratepayers $200 million a year?
Yes.
And as Sherry also pointed out, the entire system of gas infrastructure is old, and the repairs are costing us hundreds of millions of dollars more. Why? We're not even supposed to be using gas. We all know that. We know we need to get off of gas. We know we have passed the CLCPA that has told us exactly why and when and how. So why the hell would we continue spending ratepayers' money at the tune of at least $200 million a year to continue to expand cash prices? Does that make any sense?
No!
Your heat bill, as was said, will cap expenses on utilities for low and moderate New Yorkers to 6% of their income per year. That is huge. It will stop the continued building of gas pipelines to that last 100-foot rule that was already described to you. That totally makes no sense in today's world. I'm committed to get this through the Senate.
My name is Sonal Jessel. I'm the Director of Policy at We Act for Environmental Justice. We are a community-based organization and representing Harlem, Washington Heights, and Inwood in New York City. So the budget didn't do nearly enough for low and middle-income families who face the highest energy burden, and a hot summer ahead along with even higher bills are coming. New York Heat, like we said, can save somewhere around $75 a month for people. That's money for groceries, rent, medicine, and anything. It's low and middle-income households are the most impacted by volatile gas prices, high energy bills. They pay more than three times more of their income on energy bills than non-low-income households. Low-income residents in New York City spend a median of 9.3% of their household income on their energy bills. New York Heat Act would cap bills at 6% of household income for these families. This is also a matter of racial justice. University of California, Berkeley found that black renters paid $273 more per year for energy than white renters. Black homeowners also paid $408 more for energy than white homeowners during the same period. We are facing rising rates both in New York City. New York Heat will also help us secure some level of financial safety for our residents as we're transitioning away from fossil fuels. So we encourage our legislature to pass New York Heat.
Next is Elisha Bacon of Mothers Out Front.
New York has an urgent need for implementation of the New York Home Energy Affordability and Transparency Act. This critical legislation aims to make New York a great place for all to live. Right now, there is a disproportionate burden of high utility bills on lower income households. Many currents allocate a staggering 10% of their income to meet their energy needs. The New York Heat Act seeks to alleviate this financial strain by reducing utility bills by roughly $75 per month for those who struggle to most make the ends meet. This would mean that households and families here in Albany would see their energy costs go down now, which is vital as nearly a quarter of the city here lives below the outdated poverty line. The New York Heat Act will provide immediate relief to vulnerable New Yorkers, and this is a critical part of the Climate Jobs and Justice Package. This comprehensive suite of legislation is designed to build an inclusive and environmentally conscious society where every resident has the opportunity to not just survive, but to truly thrive. Nobody should have to choose between keeping cool or keeping food on the table.
The last speaker we hear from is Albany County Legislator and Share Co-Chair Merton Simpson. Mert focused on the push to convert the state capitol complex to 100% renewable energy, which would allow the state to finally shut down the power plant on Sheridan Avenue, which has polluted the low-income neighborhood of color for more than a century.
The New York Heat Act, and we need to pass this before the legislators go home. But I'm here today to talk about another related bill that Senator Breslin and Assemblywoman Fahey, Renewable Capital Act. Basically, what we're asking for is to have the Capitol, the Empire State Plaza, the museum, the education building, the Alfred E. Smith building is a 98.5-acre facility. The city of Albany has approximately 100,000 people. On any given day, the workforce in the Empire State Plaza is 11,000 people, not including guests, lobbyists, visitors. The Empire State Plaza, the Capitol, at a time when we have the CLCPA and to have frack gas pumped in from Pennsylvania is like preaching in our underwear. But we need to call on Governor Hochul to do the right thing. All these lofty goals we have for renewable energy is meaningless if we don't even have our own house in order. The Empire State Plaza historically has been a model innovation, and we have a responsibility to lead. What we're talking about is global sustainability. Right now, they're excited in England because they can grow champagne grapes. But the last time I checked, more people eat potatoes than drink champagne. And the climate is not compatible for both things. We have to have our priorities straight. I am afraid that even if we were doing everything possible now, our grandchildren wouldn't have a future much better than the Walking Dead. But we're so far from doing everything possible that I shudder to think how close we are, or if we already passed the tipping point.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that Representative Pat Ryan keeps insisting that Republicans are proposing to slash veteran services. Currently, Congress must approve a new debt ceiling to cover past spending, and instead of just approving a new limit as in the past, Republicans in the House of Representatives say they will only approve a new limit if there are massive spending cuts in the next budget. Ryan said, and I quote, "Far-right extreme Republicans in Washington have offered two bad options. Either we default on the full faith and credit of the United States, which is unprecedented in our nation's history, or we agree to their cruel cuts to veteran services. These are the men and women who risk their lives for our country. American heroes I served with in Iraq who were told this country would always have their back. My response is simple. Hell no." End quote. Republican Representative Mark Molinaro claims there will be no cuts to veteran services, saying, and I quote, "Cuts to veteran services and benefits are off the table. The Limit Save Grow Act sets a top line number for the entire federal budget. It does not include cuts to the VA," end quote. Molinaro did not say what spending cuts he is in favor of or what cuts Republican negotiators are demanding of President Joe Biden's team. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Nancy Kern reports for Columbia Green Media that only 137 of the 1,254 firefighters on the Green County tax rolls are using the Emergency Workers Real Property Tax Break approved by the legislature in February. The low usage means taxes for everyone else will not rise as much as expected. Green County Director of Tax Services Ray Ward said that taxes are only going up $3.50. Ward said, and I quote, "Originally I told you that there were around 1,200 firefighters on the roll. 137 of them, a little over 10%, applied for the exemption. The impact was much lower because I was working with the number of 1,200. I gave you the worst case scenario of $17 to come in on an average home last year, which was valued at $250,000. The impact is about $3.50. If they're in the village, increase that by $150, end quote. The responders eligible for the tax credit could have gotten $200 off of their taxes. Besides Greene County, many towns and school and fire districts also passed the tax credit. Ward said, and I quote, "Of the 10 of the 14 Greene County towns, 5 of the school districts, 3 of the 5 villages, and 7 of the 26 fire districts have adopted the new RPTL 466, a volunteer firefighters and volunteer ambulance workers exemption. With a tight timetable to get this accomplished in time for the March 1st taxable status date, it was good news that our encouragement to them appears to have worked," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Jamal Cutler reports for Columbia Green Media that Habitat for Humanity started building new homes on Eagle Street in Philmont on May 19th. Currently, state and local officials have said there is an affordable housing crisis in New York and the Hudson Valley. These will be the 26 and 27 homes that Columbia County Habitat for Humanity has built over 3 decades. The group keeps the price of the homes no more than 30% of gross family income and limit construction costs to $300,000 each. Al Belanchia, Executive Director and CEO of Habitat for Humanity, said, and I quote, "The family pays what they can afford, so we can fill that gap in what the family can afford to pay. That gap is where the community comes in. The community has always helped raise the money to fill the gap. That is why we're a nonprofit organization, because we're able to do that through fundraising, grants, and donations," end quote. These are the first homes the group has worked on since the COVID-19 pandemic began. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Andrea Makel reports for Porcupine Soup that the village of Coxsackie won a $1.5 million Restore New York Communities Initiative grant to fix up some buildings at 2234 South River Street. That is the block of abandoned storefronts with apartments above and an old theater and opera house. The three-story brick building was built between 1870 and 1882. The properties are owned by Aaron Flash's development firm, Empire Riverfront Ventures, that recently renovated the nearby Patrick Henry's Tavern, converted the old iron foundry into the Wire Event Center, and is building the James Newberry Hotel. In March, Coxsackie won a $4.5 million New York Forward grant for another restoration and renovation in the village. And you can read the full story in Porcupine Soup. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, showers are likely with thunderstorms also possible after 4 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 75 degrees. On Wednesday night, showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm before 11 p.m. Then a slight chance of showers between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly clear with a temperature low of around 41 degrees. And on Thursday, sunny with a high near 64 degrees, and Thursday night mostly clear with a temperature low of around 40 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
There are so many events in the WGXC community calendar, both in real life and virtually online. You can find something to do at WGXC.org in the community calendar. You can also add your own event if you're helping to organize something locally. There's an add an event button. Just click that and then cut and paste all the information about the event that you're organizing. And soon enough, folks like me will be reading your event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org in the community calendar. Events like Wednesday, May 24th, the Hudson Area Library Book Group meets. They're reading Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garmus. And they meet at 5 p.m. at the Hudson Area Library. And then at 6 p.m., there's something called Cooking Up Community at the Hudson Area Library with Maria Romero, the owner and chef at Casa Latina. She's going to show you how to make Salvadorian poop. Pupusas, which I'm probably pronouncing wrong, but there's a registration form online. Also, Upstate Films in Rhinebeck is showing 32 Sounds with Anaya Lockwood, who is there for a special question and answer session Wednesday, May 24th at 7:15 p.m. Anaya Lockwood, known for her Hudson River recordings and other fabulous field recordings, in person with 32 Sounds at Upstate Films in Rhinebeck, Wednesday, May 24th, 7:15 p.m. The Hudson Thursday Market returns to the public square in Hudson. It's at 4 to 7 p.m. Thursdays this summer, May 25th. This week, you can turn out then. Abby Lappin is teaching string movement and music with a story time at 4 p.m. Thursday, May 25th at the Hudson Area Library. Thursday, May 25th, WGXC hosts Left Bank Cider's Community Soup Night. It's the final community soup night of the year at Left Bank Ciders, or this season. And the proceeds go to WGXC. Come out for some soup and conversation from 5 to 7 p.m. at Left Bank Ciders in Catskill, Thursday, May 25th. The WGXC afternoon show will be on the air live from there from 4 to 6. So you can join it in progress at 5 p.m. when the event gets open to the public. DJ Neva will also be spinning in the background in the first hour and live on the air at 6 p.m. live from Left Bank Ciders in Catskill. That's it. 150 Water Street from 5 to 7 p.m. Left Bank Ciders Community Soup Night with WGXC is this Thursday, May 25th. That same night, the Empty Bottle Ramblers are at Dewey Hall in Massachusetts in Sheffield. It's 6:30 p.m. There's a screening of the film Lakota Nation versus the United States at the Rhinebeck Upstate Films Thursday, May 25th at 7 p.m. East of Berlin is all this weekend at the Bridge Street Theater, including at 7:30 p.m. Thursday, May 25th. The Phoenix Web Collective has a Phoenix Fair May 26th, Friday, through Sunday, May 28th. It's Memorial Day weekend. This is their first annual Phoenix Fair at their shop on Main Street in Hunter. Opus 40 is showing Midsummer, the horror movie with the Goddess Party performing. That's Friday, May 26th at 6:30 p.m. East Berlin continues at the Bridge Street Theater Friday, May 26th at 7:30 p.m. Saturday, May 27th, the Wampum Belt Teachings from Lu Wan Aksung is being led by the Wild Hudson Valley Eco Camp in Cairo. That's from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. in Cairo. WildHudsonValley.com and the WGXC Community Calendar has more information about that. There's a community care clinic Saturday, May 27th at 11 a.m. at the Hudson Area Library, including ear acupuncture, ear seeds, acupressure, and herbal medicines, Narcan, fentanyl test strips, and more. 24-hour drone is this weekend, Saturday, May 27th through Sunday, May 28th at Basilica Hudson. WGXC will have a live broadcast from noon on Saturday, May 27th to noon on Sunday, May 28th. Opus 40 is showing The Princess Bride Saturday, May 27th. East Berlin continues at the Bridge Street Theater Saturday, May 27th. That's at 7:30 p.m. Sunday, May 28th, the traditional Irish music session is at the Shamrock House from 2 to 5 p.m. in East Durham. East of Berlin continues at least the last Sunday, Bridge Street Theater at 2 p.m. These events and more are on the WGXC community calendar, online at wgxc.org.
Linda Namo Balila, Bipa Bipa. Pipa Numero 1 Adorche Linda Namo Balila Benga 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 Anga Chale Prefa Kata Pafkos
Mabiki Bambu Devala Bashike.
Yeah. Benga 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 Bambu Bashali Kata Bana Bambu Tito Neglige Bana Te Benga 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 bango, benga 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 bango.
Ngai baba kanga nze, mama nanga, atuwa ngoko, mwasi papa, adui na ndoto, koma kulia, koma mata, koma kulela. Thank you.
pas qu'on s'aille sa vie seule. Ma body don't let ma conseil.
Ma way, ma way. Hey, ma bengi bambo, le bala ba shake.
Benga, 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 benga bambo.
Ma bengi bambo, le bala ba shake.
Ma jali kaka bana.
Ma bengi bambo, le bala ba shake.
Ma body don't neglige bana.
Ma bengi bambo, le bala ba shake.
Benga, 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 benga bambo.
Numéro 1 à Dorche, Linda dans mon palais là.
Venga, 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 venga.
La tâche à l'imprime, la pâche cosse.
Papa na mama eba koko kolo mwana na yo nandako. Soki olembi koko kolo lobi na lobi ya koko mashege. Papa na mama eba koko kolo mwana na yo nandako. Soki olembi koko kolo lobi na lobi ya koko mashege.
Benga 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 bango.
Mawe, eba bengi bango ne bala bashege. Ba bengi bango ne bala bashege. Ba bengi bango ne bala bashege.
Benga 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 bango.
That was Mbangwanga Star with Shegui from their 2015 album From Kinshasa. All these words mean.
Let me speak from the heart without love. There's no electricity. Let me speak from the heart without love. There's no electricity.
That was the Ibibi Sound Machine with Electricity from 2022. Here is Hudson Valley-based cellist Fred Lonberg-Holm performing with Abdul Momimi and Carlos Santos on the song Ring from their 2021 album Transition Zone.